When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 18. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. Hear ye now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, The way of the Lord is not equal, O house of Israel. Are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The prophets in the King James always sound a little more prophetic, perhaps. They are the ones that remind us of the old ways of God, the covenant that God made with his people Israel. Israel means struggle, strong one. It is the name that God gives Jacob, who we were reading about last week. After he wrestles with Jacob, he gives him the name Israel, the wrestling one, the strong wrestler. And Israel has never, ever been completely perfect. There was no golden age where all the covenant was kept and all those things. There has always been this struggle with God's people. And this is illustrated in this prophetic word to these people, of the people of Israel that Ezekiel is talking to. There are these proverbs that are being passed around. We have modern proverbs that we use all the time. Most of them go back to Ben Franklin. You ever meet a really wise person that had a lot of witty things and smart things to say? Usually they just are quoting Ben Franklin. He had a lot of these. Penny saved is a penny earned, those sorts of things. But here we have this proverb, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And he's saying this proverb is true. It is the sowing and reaping of life. That the things that are happening in the time of Ezekiel, the time of Israel, the time of this word of God to his people, are the things that were built up and prepared, and in fact, these are the things, the consequences of the actions of the fathers who ate the sour grapes. This cause and effect on the next generation is what we see happening in Ezekiel's time. And he's saying that there's only one thing to do, is to repent. That's the only thing you can do in this scenario. And it's not too late. It's never too late. The rest of the chapter that we sort of skipped over, the lectionary has us skip a lot of that. And it discusses the kind of stuff that's been happening. There's been dishonesty. There's been the exploitation of the poor and needy. There's been violence in the land. There's been this idea of predatory lending is even mentioned. There is all sorts of other wickedness in the land of Israel at the time of Ezekiel. And he's saying it's time to repent. It's time to turn around. That's really all the word means, to make an about face, to go a different direction. And he's saying that, why would you die? Why would you want to die, O house of Israel? God has no pleasure in the death of anyone, including those that are falling under this kind of cause and effect of just judgment. Here we see the intractable problem of human sin, that even when we do right, other people do wrong, and it has a big effect on us. And then when we do wrong, it has an effect on other people around us, that we can't always control. We can't always stop. The effects of our transgressions are always ripple effects across the pond of our communities. And so this is the intractable problem of human sin that Jesus has come to solve. On this day, Friday, where we remember his crucifixion, we remember that he died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. And this is for all the stuff mentioned in Ezekiel 18 is what Jesus died for. Because there is this cause and effect and this chain of events that we cannot break ourselves fully. Ultimately, we do our best to cast away transgressions, but the new heart that Ezekiel talks about, a new spirit, comes from God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that fills us and says to ourselves, why will we die? Why will we do this? Why do we choose death over and over again, the self-destructive things that we do? Why do we choose that? Let's live today. Let's live in the Spirit of God that calls us to hope, calls us to love, calls us to righteousness, calls us to new beginnings, new starts, joy, happiness, the fruits of the Spirit. Don't die today. Don't do it. Live, because God is living with us. Amen. Tomorrow is the feast day of Jonai Luam. And since we won't have morning prayer tomorrow, I wanted to highlight him, especially in light of the death of Navalny in Russia, who has died in prison, announced today. We in this country get mad about our politics, and we get mad that there's two parties that, you know, fight all the time and seem to always be compromising all kinds of things. And, you know, even we don't agree with everything in the party that we vote with, and the problems of the two-party system. But we were reminded of other countries, including Russia, where just another person running for office is imprisoned and possibly murdered for that political stance, is the order of the day. And so I think the life of Jonai Luam is an illustration of this. He was born in 1922 to Acholi parents in Mukwini, Uganda, near the Sudanese border. We have a church plant in our diocese of South Sudanese Christians in Houston, and I think often of them when I read about him, because they were just across the border. After Jonai's early years as a teacher and lay reader in Gulu, he was sent to St. Augustine's College, Canterbury, England. He He was ordained as a priest in 1956 and went back to Uganda to assume responsibility for 24 congregations. After several years of service that included work at a theological college, Lewin returned to England to study further. 1969, Lewin became the bishop of northern Uganda, where he was a faithful visitor at his parishes and became a growing influence at the international gatherings of the Anglican Communion that were just starting to happen in the 1960s and 70s. The Anglican Communion, as we know it today, is kind of new. 60s and 70s, the 1900s. Remember the 1900s, anyone? In 1974, he was elected Archbishop of the Church of Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and Bogazaire. His new position brought him into direct contact and eventual confrontation with the Ugandan military dictator Idi Amin, as the archbishop sought to protect his people from the brutality of Idi Amin's regime. In 1976, in August, Makerere University was sacked by government troops. Archbishop Lewin was the chair of the university, and the Christian leaders around the country drafted a strong memorandum of protest against this officially sanctioned rape and murder of students and faculty there at the university. In February 1977, the archbishop's residence was searched for arms by the army. February 16th, President Amin summoned Lewin to his palace. He went there accompanied by other Anglican bishops, by the Roman Catholic Cardinal Archbishop, and even a senior member of the Muslim community. After being accused of complicity in a plot to murder the president, most of the clerics were allowed to leave. However, Archbishop Lewin was ordered to remain behind. As his companions departed, Lewin said, "They are going to kill me. I am not afraid." He was never seen alive again. The following day, the government announced that he had been killed in an automobile accident while resisting arrest. Only after some weeks had passed was his bullet-riddled body released to his family for burial. Early in his confrontation with the Ugandan government, Archbishop Lewin answered one of his critics by saying, "I do not know how long I shall occupy this chair. I live as though there will be no tomorrow. While the opportunity is there, I preach the gospel with all my might, and my conscience is clear before God." Remember this archbishop of our communion who was murdered by a government, by a evil leader, Idi Amin, and remember all those who suffer for taking a stand for what is right in this world. And we thank God for our country, in spite of evil that we have done, that we confess and repent of. Thankful that this is not the order of the day as it was under Idi Amin's leadership and in Russia today as well. O God, whose Son, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep, we give you thanks for thy faithful shepherd, Janai Lewin, who, after his Savior's example, gave up his life for the sake of his flock. Grant us to be so inspired by his witness that we make no peace with oppression, but live as those who are sealed with the cross of Christ, who died and rose again, and now liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We pray a collect for Friday. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who did stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace, so clothe us in thy Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know thee to the knowledge and love of thee, for the honor of thy name. Amen.